this evening would be from NCR.
Hi, I'm Valencia, and I'm an addict. First, I'd like to thank God for allowing me to show up for life today. And I don't mean just alive either. I mean joyous and free. I live today. You know, my greatest worry is I don't have enough vacation days. You know, that's what it is. I'd like to thank the program committee for sending enough, you know, in my walk to ask me to be here. Again, I'm Valencia and I'm an addict. When I use drugs, I commit crimes. I go to jail. I get nervous in the oil joint. I'm missing my hand and they swell. And that's what I tell myself when my disease tells me that I can. Because that's just enough to take me to my end, getting on the bus on Georgia Avenue in Rittenhouse with a bag of popcorn, trying to get to Normandy's, the cop, and having to stop at the Smithsonian at the Portal John because I couldn't make it. And that's enough to let me know that I don't want any of that misery back. So I have to have that little couple of second blurt, you know, to keep a sister in check. The topic is spiritual, not religious. The text is, this is a spiritual program, not a religion. And I want to start with, I did a lot of things to get here. I use a lot of drugs. I use a lot of people. I hurt a lot of people. I degraded myself. I no longer had self-respect. I was real, real tiny. You know, and not only was I tiny, I was petty. You know, I was a petty person. And I say that to say that coming here, I didn't come here like the literature talks about bubbling and you know, and glad to be here. I came here, you know, from jail after researching some more. Relapse is a part of my story, and so is having an oil change. My first introduction to treatment was my girlfriend and I was messing around with a guy and all I snorted was raw dope and she said, well, damn, we can't afford this. And, you know, after he left, so he said, take my Medicaid card, go in, and just when you come out, we just going to do a little of this, you know. And I went in for an oil change and because I went in under her name. I couldn't even do the first admission to say that my name is Valencia and I'm an addict. You know, they bammed on my door. Miss Jones. I'm like, who the hell is Miss Jones? I said, oh, that's me today. You know, so that was my first introduction. So I knew that I never heard anything about a disease. I truly went in for an oil change. And my second time around, I'm from Wisconsin. I had went back to Wisconsin and because my mom was sick, you know. And so my sister said, well, why don't you come home? Because I was the one that never worked. All I did was temp, mind you. I come from a great background, a college degree. I didn't start using dope, you know, with a habit till I was 26, you know, 52 now. And so my sister said, come home. So I went home and, you know, to help take care of my mom. My sister was a director at a university, so here, come here, you can work here, you know, but you need, when she needs to go to the doctor, you take her. When she needs this, you do this, fine, not a problem, you know. But in the meantime, you know, I still got to feed my addiction, so ain't none of that's going to happen. But that's why I came all the way to D.C., not to embarrass y'all, but if you want me home, you know who you're asking to be on, you know. And so I went home, and I continued, you know. And my mother would say, well, damn, if you're going to steal it, would you just not sell it to my girlfriends? I said, well, okay. All right, you know, that's how I got my legs every day. I'd go boost and I had to get rid of it. And so, it just totally progressed. And my mother owned, in Wisconsin, we called them taverns, so they were clubs. My mother owned a tavern, and I would always hit the tavern at 2 o'clock because I knew they wouldn't call her, but they'd give me what I wanted, you know. And so I played a lot of that, you know. I was totally embarrassing to my sisters. And I talk about my past and my drug log to let you know that it is about not using one day at a time. Never is it not about the drug for me. The promise that I get here is freedom from active addiction. I can't get the promise if it ain't about the dope. So I come here to relieve myself on a daily basis not to use. And as a result of working the steps, you know, I got some more tools. You know, I have some tools that are built in that I could call upon now. I want to share with you one of them that I got, which is a conscience, you know. And our literature talks about a conscience is an essentially spiritual faculty. It is our innate sense of right and wrong, an internal compass that each of us may consult in our personal reflection about the best course to take, a spiritual program, not a religion. Our basic text refers to conscience as one of those higher mental, emotional functions that when we used, it was like sharply affected. You know, I didn't have a conscience. I didn't, I can remember on the way to my end, on my way to catching the 5 felonies that landed me up in jail, that I was on 395, right? And this car was coming over, so I speeded up, but he hit this other lady on the side, and her car tumbled over the thing into the embankment, right? And I kept on going to catch them felonies. You know, I kept right on going, and it didn't faze me. I remember stepping over this dead man on 9th and T Street. None of it fazed me. I had, you know, I just became animalistic, like our literature says. I had no conscience. I had none of that. And as a result of coming in here and working the steps and working a spiritual program, I developed one. Now I can, you know, I can go to it and I can say, you know what, V, this ain't the right thing to do. You know, and I can know what the right thing to do is. I know that when I look at religion, it looks like it's a particular, all right? And when I come into the rooms of Narcotic Anonymous, there's as many ways to recover as there are people here. You know, there are spiritual principles that allow me to feed my spirit. I know that within me at all times, you know, it's a set of twins. It's the dope fiend and it's, you know, the recovering addict. And if I feed the dope fiend and don't feed the recovering addict, I'll be out there using again. So I choose to feed the recovering addict. So I do my work. You know, I do my step work. I be of service. I have sponsees that I sponsor. I have foster kids that I foster, and I have 5 young women that I mentor. So I kind of like see the disease before you pick up. I see it after you pick up. I see it when you're clean, and I see it, you know, when I struggle. I also like helping. I feel so good when I help. You know, I just feel better about myself when I'm in service. The spiritual portion of our program helps me with that. You know, it helps me know that I can do anything, you know, if I remain in the right path. The God of my understanding, I would say that if I stay in the Jesus path, everything gonna be all right. You know, when I decide to go off the path, I get what I get. You know, but as a result of coming back and doing the steps, I can take what I get like a big girl, you know, and I can show up. You know, I have a situation where I co-signed for a friend and it was 60 months, right? And so the last 5 months, they ain't trying to pay it, right? And, you know, they ain't trying to answer the phone, but I co-signed, okay? By the grace of God, I could pay it. You know, don't look like I'm a big person. I paid that shit and I filed me a small file claim, all right? And that shit's being served. I ain't all of that now. I'm trying to get back. Don't misunderstand. No, I don't want you to misunderstand that one. Yeah, because I had to sit with that, you know, and look at the part I played in it. And I did. I co-signed, so okay, fine. I thought you would, you know, pay it off and you didn't, so not a problem. You know, I'm going to pay it off. And then I finished, you know, the complaint, right, and I had a guy come, the processor to serve, to file it and serve it, right, I felt good, right, and I called my network, but I said, damn, I don't know if I feel good because I'm seeking revenge or if I feel good because I use the law on my side and they ain't persecuting me for a change. It was just a mixed, you know, whole mix of feelings. And I just said, damn, but it feel good if, you know, if the devil's scratching my back 15 times, let him scratch. Because it just felt good and I felt relieved, you know, because I felt wronged, you know. I felt wronged. I can remember, I can remember when I did a second step, right? That insanity, it was so confusing for me when I first came in here, because when it told me that that a power greater than me could restore me to sanity, and I'm like, okay, now is sanity before I picked up? Because if it is, I'm gonna pick up again. Because that's where I was. I picked up back there, so I'd pick up again. I said, I'm not understanding this insanity thing. And as I further got into it and understanding that insanity was committing the same mistake and expect my results to be different, then I understood. I said, well, it is a mistake, V. So if you do a mistake, you're going to get the same thing. Why do you keep expecting? I said, oh, well, I'll be on Jesse Jackson Hope for a while. You know, and the Dauphine in me would, you know, try again. You know, I would just be hoping that it would be different, and it never was. And so I usually, you know, got the pain that I got. But as a result of continuing and understanding that a power greater than me didn't necessarily have to be God, you know, I was standing in the line at the grocery store, right? And it was a long line. And I always noticed, I said, you know, old people can get on my nerve when they're in line. It seems like they think that they don't have to pay for these groceries or something, and then they wait until it rings up, the drawer damn near open before they even dig out their purse. You know, and so I'm sitting there, right, and I started humming. I said, okay. So next thing I knew, I was humming, because I hummed What a Friend I Have in Jesus a lot when I was in jail. And I started humming, and it soothed me. And next thing I knew, you know, I was the one who didn't have their purse out, and it was time to pay, you know. So I know that, you know, a power greater than me can be anything that interrupted me from acting out on something negative, be it a song, a picture, an individual, a phone call. You know, it could be anything, you know, and it can be dialing the phone. I've dialed the phone to complain about some stuff. My higher power didn't let me get nobody. No, I ain't going to complain on the voicemail, so it had to be over after I hung up. You know, a power greater than myself. When I come into a meeting and somebody shares exactly where I am, you know, it's a power greater than myself. When I come in and what I thought, you know, was a huge burden, and somebody else comes in with something else like this, you know, mine shrinks and shrinks, and I say, well, okay, because it could be worse. Then I get me some gratitude. You know, it's a spiritual program, not a religion. There is no particular way to make me feel better. You know, I can just go in and it just seems to happen whenever I keep coming back, whenever I listen to another addict, you know, share their experience, strength, and hope with me. I enjoy going to meetings. It seems like I always get what I need to get. It's like, you know, I know God is the greatest planner, but I'm saying, like, boy, you should be working with a sister here. You know, you give it up, and a lot of times I get it, but I don't know I have it until I get home, because it's not packaged like I thought it ought to be packaged. That's when I'm not being open, because I'm trying to package some stuff. I know how the help ought to come. You know, this is how you need to bring it to me. You know, and when I get home, everything is all right, but it wasn't nothing like I thought I needed. You know, so that kind of changed my prayer to just help. You know, and if you help me, I might not like it, but I know it's going to be all right. And so I kind of like start lowering my expectations, you know, and as a result of lowering them, so did my resentments. They decreased. You know, I suffer from pride and self-seeking being some of my glaring character defects, and self-seeking mixed with denial is, God, it's a bastard. You know, I can remember my when my sister and I said, we fast, because my brother is like 55, and I wanted my brother, you know, to go to treatment, and And all I can do, you know, is be a power of example and stuff. And so she said, well, let's fast, okay, because she's clean and she goes to church. I said, okay, fine. So she defined it for me, and I said, okay, fine, we'll do it. And so, you know, and we did. And, like, you know, at the end of it, you know, she said he had walked up in church and he had started to try to get into a program and stuff like that, right? But as a result of fasting, I had dropped 10 pounds. I said, oh, shit, this is all right. And, you know, I said, there I go. You know, I'm supposed to be over here. And then thank God for sponsorship. And he said, well, some good things can come out of, you know, sacrifices. It doesn't always have to be about why you did it. I said, okay, thank you. Because I said, here I go again. I said, I cannot seem to get away from that self-seeking, you know. And it's amazing how, it feeds on me a lot, you know, with the kids that I foster, you know, because I'm paid to foster. And some days, that's why I do it. Other days, I do it because of the reward. You know, the days that I have to swallow my pride because I got this 17 or 18-year-old talking crazy and I can't put my hand on her, then I remember, well, they paid me. You know? Yeah, so those are true things that help me get through. You know, if I lied to myself, I wouldn't get through. You know, and that's just being honest. I said, well, shit, I'll go somewhere when I get that check. You know what I'm saying? I have to feed me what I have to feed me to continue to do the right thing. I don't always have, my motives don't always match up to my heart, but my outcome is usually in the right. You know, if I err, I'm going to try to err on the side of grace. I also know that in the 11th step, it talks about that when my conscious contact with God, I can take an eclectic approach, which means that I can deal with various sources of where I want to pull from. And that's kind of what I do for the spiritual part of my program, is I take it from a lot of different sources. I go to church, I do steps, I read, I love to read. I read all kind of stuff, you know, and I get help from it all. I really get help from a lot of poems that I read. And one of the ones that keep me from arguing is the one, Why Some People Be Mad at Me Sometimes. They ask me to remember, but really they want me to remember their memories. But all I can do is remember mine. So when somebody say, no, remember, I say, mm-hmm, you know, because they remembering theirs and I'm remembering mine. We just got a conflict, you know, everybody should have their own, you know, so it kind of makes me step back and say, okay, you know. And I also know that as a result of it being a spiritual program and not a particular way to heal, because I can heal in all ways, I know that I can face most things, because the second step told me that I can act like it's all right even if it ain't, you know, and I have a tendency to do that. Whenever something comes, the first thing I tell myself, it's already all right. I just don't know it, but I know I got to stand up and I got to keep moving. You know, staying still will not get me through my process. I also realized that I had to become honest in order to do anything in here. And one of the ways that my disease really messed with me was when I first came in and I wanted to use, I was so embarrassed to come in here and tell you that I want to use. You know, I'm saying, like, damn, I'm in a room with a bunch of dope fiends. Why is it so hard for me to say I want to use? But something about my disease said, no, don't tell them that. You know, and I just want the newcomer to know that, tell us if you want to use. The ultimate weapon in recovery is a recovering addict. You know, and I didn't, but by the grace of God, I'm still here. But I was too embarrassed, but you don't have to be embarrassed. You know, you'll receive love no matter what. And I also want you to know that nowhere do we say you have to have a certain God, but we say that, you know, have a God of your own understanding. And we ask that you consider that God to be loving, caring, and kind. And whatever else you add, I add jealousy because I'm such a self-seeking person, and, you know, I'm always up here, you know, and I have to fight to come down here to humility. So if he's jealous, he's going to whip my butt. So I kind of keep that just for me, you know, and who I am to bring me back down so that I can be humble. And I also want you to know that, no, it's not a religious program. It's not a religion, okay? But I know that every step I take brings me closer to the God of my understanding. I know that when I prayed before I did this, I asked God, whatever I do and whatever I share, allow them to understand that it's my story and that I don't deny you. You know, because I know from which, you know, where my strength comes from. And I realize a lot of times I have the evidence of when he used you all. You know, I have the evidence when I go home and I lay down and I can say that, damn, I said, that sister don't realize what she said, but that's what I needed. You know, when I first came around, I would go to certain meetings because it was certain smiles and hugs that I liked. You know, now I was too afraid of who I was. You know, being judgmental, poking holes in people's stories. I didn't want to know nothing about that individual. All I wanted was that hug and that smile. You know, I don't want to know nothing. I don't want your phone number because I don't want to spoil it. You know, it was saving my life one day at a time. So let it save my life and let me not try to control it. Let me not try to mess with it. Just use it for what it was. And that was spiritual for me, that I could just get help or I could get hope from an individual merely showing up, smiling and giving me a hug. And that's how I learned that how important it was to merely show up. You know, when you're sitting there and you don't want to go to your home group, and I said, damn, you know, I said, let me show up, you know, because I know it's showing up dear for me. Dang, I had a thought and that's what it was. A thought, man. Menopause, this bitch. Serious. I mean, your memory goes, and it's like, damn. You know, and, you know, I could deal with the hot flash. But that memory loss, and there's nothing for it. So I said, well, hell, I could deal with the hot flash. There ain't no need me taking some more pill. But I, okay, what did I just tell you?
Process.
Thank you. I'll go somewhere else then. Yes, it's just like moving right along. Thank you. I know. I was going to talk about faith. I was going to talk about hope and trust, right? Now, for me, okay, I realized that when I get hope, right, that I have to act quickly. And I just want you to know, like when you're sitting in a meeting, you get a shot of hope, you know, it don't stop there. You know, because that shot of hope will diminish if it's not followed up, you know, with some faith and some trust. You know, I had it explained to me that, like, hope is like a 30-day tag. When you buy that car, you're going to have to do some other things in order to get that the permanent tag. And that's what I do with hope. When I get me a shot of hope, I run off and I get me some faith. You know, then I can prepare forward. Then I can begin to trust. And trust is such a relaxing force for me. Because if I trust, I just lay down. You know, and I kind of let it happen. And so today, you know, I can show up. I can do the next right thing. I can leave the outcome to the God of my understanding. You know, and when I say leave the outcome to my God of my understanding, I'm not talking about laying down. You know, I'm not talking about paying that car note and not doing nothing. You know, because no, that's not what I believe. I believe I'm to pay it, keep my credit right, and, you know, do the next right thing to retrieve my money. You know, so, but I want to thank all of you for being here. I want to thank the smiles that I got at Sharon and the noddings of the head. They're very encouraging. And I want to tell you, if you're new, that you please, please, please keep coming back. Life just gets better. And it gets so exciting sometimes you can't wait till tomorrow. Valencia, I'm an addict. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing, Valencia. For our next speaker, we have Mike T.
Good evening. I'm Mike T, and I'm an addict. And Valencia did a great job in sharing her experience, strength, and hope on spiritual and not religion. I got a lot out. I want to thank her for sharing those things with us. I was looking at this. I was looking at the 12 steps. You know, there's often today there's a lot of controversy about, you know, religion and praying and meetings and that sort of thing. So much stuff going around today in the meetings. Some people pray, some people don't pray. You know, some people don't like the word God. Some people's okay with the word God. So, I mean, it's a lot of different things. I'm surprised this room is not packed. I mean, every seat filled in here. Because I don't know about in other areas. I know about in the area that I come from. I mean, there's so much controversy that it divides. It actually has divided the meeting in half. You know, people that used to be all right with each other and talk with each other. Now they're not talking with each other because one person's taking up this position on the praying and so forth. And, you know, it's just gotten so confused. I just pray that the newcomers don't get caught up in that stuff, man. I just pray that they don't get lost as a result of some of us old timers around here trying to proliferate what it is that we think should be done or what spirituality is and what religion is and so forth, or how we're supposed to end and start these meetings. I just pray. What I try to keep in mind is that there are people that come into this room that are as confused as I was when I walked in the room, and that they need things to be put to them as simply as possible so that they will continue to come back to these rooms. Now, I'm not saying that we should give up, we should compromise our principles and that sort of thing, but I'm saying they say that the room should be conducive, the room should provide an atmosphere of recovery, you know, and I strongly believe that. That's my little soapbox thing now that I can get down to what we're doing here. But it all ties in. And what I was looking at the 12 steps. Because oftentimes, you know, we talk a lot of, you know, there's a lot of controversy or differences of opinion in terms of, you know, how are we supposed to deal with this spiritual piece in the program. And then I've heard one thing. Let me clear this up, too. Because I hear people say the spiritual part of the program. There's no such thing as a spiritual part of the program. The whole program is built on spiritual principles. And if you don't think so, how do you think you got here? How do you think an addict like myself that could not stop? I've tried it all, and I couldn't stop using until I surrendered and began to believe in something greater than myself. Even if I couldn't identify it, I knew there was something in this room that y'all had that I needed because it kept y'all clean. So the whole program to me is spiritual. That's what it is. I don't divide this thing up. Because see, the thing is when I come up, when I'm faced with a situation, I don't want to be faced with the dilemma of which side of the program do I line up on? Do I go over here where the spiritual is, or do I go over here where the program is? No, man, this thing is spiritual to me. Because it's nothing. I don't believe. And if you don't believe me, read your own steps. I didn't make these up. Read your own steps. You see God mentioned in here about four or five times. They mentioned higher power. And then they even gave us a step down here. They tell us in the third step, you got to make a decision to turn your will and your lives over to the care of who? God. As we understood him. And then they go all the way down here. There's five. And they say, we admit it to who? To God. To ourselves and another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Then they go all the way. They get down here to six and say, we're entirely ready to have who? God remove all these defects of character. I mean, the thing is here, man, this is a spiritual program. Whether you like it or not, it's a spiritual program. And whether you realize, let me stay focused on myself because I don't want no controversy. You know, they've been there, ran me out of the convention if I say the wrong thing up in here. Let me just keep it on myself. And that's the thing. I know what brought me here. I know what sustains me as I stay here. I know what kept me coming back to this room day in and day out. I know. Valencia talked about the hope. I know that when I first got here and I couldn't stay clean because I couldn't get in touch with this concept, this power greater than myself thing. I couldn't get in touch with it. I came in here. I was willing to admit that I was an addict, but I wasn't willing to feed in or give in to this thing that I couldn't straighten me out. See, that was my ego. Now, that's not a spiritual principle. All right. That was my ego. My ego was that. Mike, you can take care of this thing. You can straighten yourself up, man. You know, you fall down, get up, brush yourself off, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and go on and do your thing. I mean, all the things that I had accomplished in life told me that I was all man. And that I had it all together. And that I had the strength, the courage, and do whatever it is I wanted to do. And that's the way I approached life. And when I got here to this fellowship, it was the same thing. I said, I got a little problem that I need a little bit of help with. And, you know, and y'all going to help me with this little bit of problem. But the thing is when she talked about hope, and I got in touch with that, she talked about hope, faith, and trust. And the thing is that until I got in touch with those three principles, I could not grasp this program. I couldn't get it because of the fact I kept going in and out of this thing. Now, let me just give you a little background history anyway. When I came in, see, I came in with the same crap that I had out there in the street, the same thinking, the same perceptions. I came in and I looked at y'all, and y'all look real needy. Y'all had a couple problems and stuff, you know, people. And when I got into the room, came to my first meeting in Narcotics Anonymous, it ain't look nothing like this. I mean, people were bleeding, and they had abscesses, and their hands was falling off, and fingers hanging off by a thread. I mean, they were in bad shape. Looked like these guys came right off the strip, and they just happened to stop in there for a cup of coffee or something before they went back. So, I mean, I came in there, and I looked. I said, these jokers need some help up in here, man. They need some help. I had on a nice, clean, pressed white shirt and that kind of thing. Drove in from the suburbs of Washington, D.C. and so forth. And I could articulate. I could read. Half these guys couldn't read. And I'm not putting them down. Half of them couldn't read or anything. So I said, man, these guys need me up in here. You know, I think I can probably help some of these people. And the first thing I did is the same thing I did in the street, because I'd have been a number of different things when I was in the street. And I know it looked like I'm getting off track, but I'm going to bring you back around. I'm just going around the corner for a minute. And what I did was I changed my name to Street. I was Big Mike, Little Mike, Slick Mike, and all that kind of stuff. You know, whatever fit what I was doing, that's what I was. Now, when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, Mike just wasn't enough for me. I changed my name to Positive Mike. You know, some of y'all may have heard of me. I mean, you know, I was Positive Mike. And as a result of that, see, I didn't say Spiritual Mike or Godly Mike or anything. I say Positive Mike. What that said is that Mike can change himself. Mike can fix himself because he's positive. And all he's got to do is draw on that positivity, and he's going to work all his problems out. But what it was is I had to come in here and show y'all how to work that stuff out through this newfound positiveness that I've had in my life. And as a result of that, you know, I went back and forth and was in and out of the rooms and that kind of stuff. And wasn't too much positive about me at all. And that's when I got in touch with the three principles that she talked about faith, trust, and hope. Because what happened is once I got back to the room and I started listening, and I started listening to y'all, and not only did I listen, but I started watching as well. Now, I watched you. I heard people come in this room, and I would see women come in here crying about they can't get their babies back. The social people that took their kids and all of that, and they not going to give them back to them and that kind of thing. They got put out their homes and so forth. And I would hear people talk about they had to go to court the next day. They done robbed a bank or something like that, and they worried to death. They don't know what's going to happen. And then I was sitting there, and I said, man, hey, they got some problems. You know, they got some serious issues. And I would keep coming to the meetings, and then I wouldn't see them for a little while, and then maybe about 2 or 3 months down the road, the very same people that I heard complaining, or not complaining, but I heard articulating what their concerns were, that they had issues with this or that, and they would be raising their hands and so on, I'm an addict, and they would be saying different things. They would be talking about that issue was resolved, it was taken care of. I don't know how it happened. I went to court. I went down there. I talked to the judge. I took some joker with me from N.A. I mean, he looked just as bad as I did, but he went down there with me. He got up and gave me a little character reference and that sort of thing, and the judge let me go. They gave me probation. Or the lady would say, they brought my kids back. I told them I was going to Narcotics Anonymous. I was working my life, trying to get my life straightened out and all that. And they said, okay, we're going to give you your kids back. That right there, I was able to witness a change. I was able to witness that there was hope right here in the room, because I saw things actually happen in people's lives that told me there's something to this, that they got something in here that I haven't been in touch with. You know, because whatever they're doing is working. Now, I still wasn't willing to identify, you know, as the terms of, in terms of what it was. All I knew that there was a power in the room that was keeping people clean. It was helping them regain their families. It was getting them jobs, bringing their wives back. Sometimes the wives came back, sometimes they didn't. But, I mean, it was helping them with all of these issues. And I said, there's something to this. There's something about this thing right here. And I said, maybe I need to stick around long enough to try to find out, to discover what this power can do for me. Now, as I sat around and watched everybody else, what happened is my life changed. I started going to bed at night. You know what I mean? I mean, I wasn't up 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I wasn't not just up. I wasn't in the street 3 o'clock in the morning like somebody else is out there. You know, and I'm out walking. I wasn't carrying firearms. For y'all that don't know what firearms are, they're guns. I wasn't carrying guns anymore or any of that kind. I wasn't doing a lot of the things that I used. What was happening is there was a power greater than myself that was actually working in my life. Now I can actually witness that in my own life. I could see it happen. I could see myself changing. I put on weight. I wanted to eat. You know, I wanted to eat. I wanted to go to sleep. You know, I didn't want to stay up past 10 o'clock. I wanted to go to bed. I could go to work. I wanted to go to work. I wanted to pay my bills. I was tired of seeing my furniture sitting out in front of my place. And then I had to tell my daughter they were exterminating the apartment. That's why all the furniture was out front. You know, I didn't have to tell those kind of lies anymore. But the thing is that when I began to understand that there was something in this room that had the ability to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I got in touch with that. Now, once I got in touch with that, you know, and that's the thing that bothers me. And now I'm sort of getting personal, because that's the thing that bothers me when I find people tampering with this program. Now, I'm sorry if I step on anybody's toes. You know, I mean, I apologize, but I got to be straightforward about how I feel. Because I've been around here for over 20 years, and I've seen this program when you couldn't fill up a room like this. You know, when you couldn't get no more than four people in a meeting. When they were only four or five meetings in the area that I came. So I saw this program grow, and I saw it grow only as a result of people practicing these principles. If I practice these principles, I'm working a spiritual program. This is the spiritual foundation of this program right here. There is no other thing. If there is, you'd have made up something. All right? Because there is no other thing. This is the program here. And it says it right here. And the thing is, what helps me bring it all together, because they know an addict like me will forget. You know, I'm human. You know, they know I'll forget about who is directing all of this. So they give me this 11th step. They say, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry it out. Now, they're telling me, what they're saying is, they're saying, Mike, we're going to provide you with something that's going to help you to improve on this newfound power that you got here. But you got to practice this. Just like anything else, man, if I want to be good at anything that I do, I got to practice at it. So I have to begin to practice this. And see, I already knew that there was a power greater than myself. I knew that there was something working within the walls of these rooms that I certainly had no control over. So I was convinced, well, if I've been able to experience just a little bit of this and it's done this for my life, just think of what would have happened if I began to practice this regularly. I mean, in my own time, in my own personal space, and however I want to, whatever I want to claim this power is being, I can claim that. Just think of what this could do for my life. Just think of what it, look at what it, and then the fact is, if we're all practicing that, we're all practicing this, look what it does for the fellowship. You know, not just my own life. Because if I'm practicing this and you're practicing this, then we're practicing it in the rooms as well. And not only that, then we're taking it out of the rooms, because the 12th step tells me to do that. It says practice these principles in all my affairs. So once I got in touch with that, and I do this now. I mean, I do this regularly. You know, I practice this 11th step, you know, and I make sure that I get mine in before I leave the house. Because I have no idea what's in store for me once I get out of here. See, when they say this, when I hear that this is a spiritual program, and then they tell me to practice this program in all of my affairs, then what that means is that I got to take the spirituality that I learned in here, or the spiritual principles that I got in here, and I got to take them outside of this room. And as best I can, if I happen to stumble up on another recovering addict that's struggling, then I need to open my mouth and share it with him. I need to share that with him. I need to tell him there's hope. There's hope, man. All you got to do, let me tell you where you can go get some hope at. Let me tell you where you can get the good stuff. You know, right down the street, blah, 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 blah. But that's me. Now I'm giving back what was given to me. I'm giving back. And these are all spiritual principles for me, because I didn't give nothing to nobody, especially give something back. You gave it to me, it was mine. You never got it back. You know, no matter what, if whatever the consequences was, I took the consequence, but you weren't getting back what I got from you. Now, what it's saying, my life has changed to the point where I want to give back. Well, I want to be of service. I want to help. I have some compassion. You know, I'm allowing the sensitivity of my, the sensitiveness of my character to reach out and to help other people. Instead of being the guy that you talk that you don't want around today, I pray that I'm the guy that you do want to be around today. Because with this talk about, even with these spiritual, if we're talking about spiritual, not religion. See, religion can be a different thing. And all of y'all, you know, I know once y'all leave here, y'all going to go get the dictionaries and y'all going to check out what religion is anyway. I already know you're going to do that. You know, and the thing is that if this was religion, we'd all have issue with it. Because you practicing something, he's practicing something. The guy over there in the back, he's practicing something. There's no way there would be any cohesiveness. There's no way we'd be able to work. There's no way we'd be able to do what we do in these rooms if we all trying to practice our own little thing. Because religion is based on ritual, traditions, and all of that kind of stuff. Not our traditions, but tradition in terms of how we do things. This is the way it's done. This is the way you to do it. You walk this way. You talk this way. You look this way. You know, you say these things. You say these things. You follow this particular thing. You know, and then you'll be fighting this guy over here. The woman back there be fighting that woman over there because she practicing this. Nah, your religion ain't better than mine. Yes, it is. I got the one and only religion. I got it right here. So anybody that want to come, then we got chaos. But see, with spiritual, when we talking about spirituality, it's not that. There isn't but one. There isn't but one. And then these principles tell us this. Our program is based on that. If you don't think so, I'm not going to tell you where to go, but you can find a lot of this information in other literature. Literature outside our program. Now, I'm not going to push anything. I'm just saying, don't believe me. Test it. Check it out. Just don't hear somebody tell you something in one of these rooms, man, and if you ain't comfortable with it, go out and do the investigation. Research it. Check it out. That's what I did. I went out and I looked at it. Man, where are they getting this information from, man? Guys pushing this crap up in here. Man, it's another little con game they running up in here. You know, next thing you know, they pass the basket right now, but next thing you know, they be telling you how much to put up in the basket, man. You know, I got to watch these jokers in here. You know, but the bottom line is that I do check this stuff. I look at it. And then because if I'm going to walk a certain way, and if I'm going to live my life a certain way, and I know you're watching me, then I need to make sure I'm doing the right thing. I need to make sure I'm practicing the right thing, because you're going to because if you whether you new or you've been around here for a while, a lot of times we watch other people and we watch how they go through things and we may mimic what they do. Because what we do is we see it. We say, well, it looks like it's working out for them. I'm going to try that. So I want to make sure that I'm practicing the 12 step, as it says, practice these principles in all my affairs. So I want to make sure that I'm doing that. And the only way I can practice these principles, man, is I got to rely on something outside of myself. And it tells me this. I don't know why we even got a discrepancy. Because it says right here in our steps what's going on. All I got to do is remember, is I don't come up in here and I don't tell you, you got to be a Catholic, you got to be a Baptist, you need to be a Lutheran, you need to be an Episcopalian, you need to be a Buddhist, you need to this and that. As long as I don't come up in here and say that, and we practice what's here, all will be well. You know, you'll leave me alone, and I'll leave you alone. you know, you'll have whatever it is that you understand helping you, and I'll have what it is that I understand that helps me. And that's how this fellowship works. That's how it works out. Yeah, we get upset and we get mad sometimes. We may go start another meeting, you know, and that kind of thing, because we're mad about what they said in that meeting. But the bottom line is if we adhere to these 12 principles and the 12 traditions, then we practice in this thing the Narcotics Anonymous way. And I don't care what you call it. I don't care what spin you put on it. When it comes down to it, if you practicing these steps right here, you practicing the 12 steps, you practicing the principles of Narcotics Anonymous. And as far as I see, these principles, for me, are spiritual. They've helped me to become the person that I am today. And I like to believe that I'm not the same guy that walked in here. Because I truly believe these steps, this whole setup of Narcotics Anonymous was designed to change the character of the addict into the character of the man. And I like to believe that that's what I'm progressing, that I'm progressing towards that point where I'm leaving behind the character of the practicing addict, and I'm becoming the man, the character of the man that I was intending to be. And the only way I can do that, let me just go to this. When it says we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So what it tells me in the sixth step, Mike, you can't do it. You can't do it. You got to get some help. And then it says in 7, it said we humbly asked him. We already know when he say him, who he's talking about, he's referring to whoever we was talking about in the sixth step, to remove our shortcomings. So clearly it tells me. Okay, if you're willing to follow these principles, these simple principles, I can help you. And you'll progress. And you'll be able to progress to the person that you were intended to be all the time. Now, you can go against this. And you can white knuckle it and think you can change yourself. And, you know, we'll just sit around and wait and watch you. You know, because at some point in time, you're going to surrender. You know, so for me, there is no controversy. You know, I do know the difference between religion, and I know the difference between spirituality. And I know what this program is pushing right here. This program is talking about spiritual principles. As long as I adhere to these, then I'm not going to infringe on you, and hopefully you won't infringe on me. And we'll all get what it is we're supposed to get out of this program. Because this is a program of recovery. But not only a recovery from drugs and other mood-altering chemicals, it's a recovery from the maddening, deadening person that I was when I became an addict. And that has allowed all of us to be who we are today and for Narcotics Anonymous to be what it is today. This is a very powerful thing that we have here, that we've been given as a result of grace. We've been given this because none of us earned this. I didn't earn it. I was using as hard as I tried to use before that when they was talking about putting me in treatment. I had 10 cents, the phone calls was 10 cents then, 20 cents or something. I put 20 cents in the payphone. I was trying to make a hookup before I went in. I mean, I'm sitting in the lobby of the treatment facility and I'm trying to go in. But before I went in, my sponsor suggested, I want you to say a prayer. He didn't tell me what to pray, but he said, you need to say a prayer. And he said, and you'll know what it is you need to say. I said, God, do for me what I cannot do for myself. And he did just that. The person I tried to call wasn't home. And as I was hanging the phone up, the counselor came back out of the committee, came back out of the office, and they said, sir, we got a bed for you. Are you ready? I broke out into a big sweat because I had a lie ready for him. You know, I had a lie ready. I was going to go. I told him I had to go get put the dog in the vet and lock the house up, shut down the bank accounts. I ain't have none of that stuff, but I was going to tell him that. And before I could get no out, yes came out. And today I know that wasn't me. So I have there's no question in my mind about what's going on in this program. There's no question in our mind that there's a spirit working amongst us that's greater than all of us. But it takes all of us for that spirit to be manifested. I'm Mike, and I'm an addict. Thank you.
This meeting is not over yet. This meeting is over at 4:30. If anybody want to share about spirituality, part of this program, not religion, you're welcome to come up to the podium and share.
I'm a blessed recovering addict named Jessica. Hi, family. I just want to thank God for allowing me to be here. And with my process, I'd practiced a certain religion for years, and I was a devout religious person. And when I started sinning in this religion, especially when I got my first taste of turkey neck, get my drift, I thought I was doomed to hell anyway. So things just kept happening. I kept being the human being that I was, because all of us have but one name, and that's sinner, where I was coming from. And I was, since I had already felt like I was doomed to hell, I just did it all. You know, it was no bars. I didn't do anything to practice this particular religion that I was walking, because I figured I had already spoiled that. And I also felt like God had better things to do than to deal with a dog like myself because of some of the decisions that I had made. And I felt unworthy, and I felt that God only dealt with good people, and I was one of the bad people. So I treated myself bad, worse than I would allow anybody in here ever to treat me. And once I identified my enemy, and I did that in rehab, I heard the brother speaking about he had a spiritual awakening in rehab. I also had a spiritual awakening in rehab. And when I got introduced to this program, I have a college degree as well, and I was real intellectual. And I know in treatment, one of the guys say, "What's an emotion?" You know, I try to get clinical on them. I say, "It's a spontaneous response to outside stimuli." You know, and when you're good and crazy, people look at you like it. You know, and while I was in that treatment center, every time I opened my mouth, the people was like, "No, she didn't say that. Something different." I mean, something crazy. All the time I said things like that because that's all I had. I was holding on to what our program called character defects. I didn't know they were defects. I was ignorant to the fact till I was introduced to this program. So the arrogance and the intellect and the couple of sheepskins and all of that kind of stuff was who I was. You know, that's what made me who I was then. And when I got the drugs out of me, you know, then I wanted to be that the person again. But while I was in that rehab, I had a spiritual awakening. And it was a direct result of the death of my mother. And I was in rehab 5 days when she died. And I got the news over the telephone. And when I was leaving the area where the phone was to get back to general population, the counselor there knew I was in, something was wrong. I was like, had this ghosty look on my face, and I was just like blank. So he said what was wrong. And as soon as somebody said something to me, I got real hysterical. So at any rate, they led me into the nurse's station. Now I am hysterical. I can't even speak. I'm hyperventilating. They're trying to make sense out of what I'm trying to tell them. And then he said, "I think she said her mother just died." And this man was a Super Bowl man, because he had a Super Bowl ring, and he was one of the counselors at this treatment center I was in. And he was a mountain of a man. So they had sat me down, and the nurse was taking the vitals on this hand, and the mountain of the man had this hand up here just stroking my hand. And when he said, "I think she said her mother just died," I just nodded my head up and down. Then this mountain of a man hit his knees, and he started praying. And he started praying for me. The first thought, I don't even want to tell y'all what the first thought I had, but I didn't say it. Tongue, wicked little organ. Didn't say it. All I said was, when this man started talking to the God that he understood, he called his God's name Jesus. You know, he had a working relationship with the God that he understood, and he was talking to his God for me. And instead of me saying anything, I was so whipped at that point. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I weighed 105 pounds. I had a black and gray bush matted so tight to my head Moses couldn't part it. I had tracks from the tips of my fingers to the tips of my toes. And I was whipped. And when this brother started praying, all I said was yes. Twice. And then I got a feeling of serenity and peace that came over me that I had never had before. So from that point, after I buried my mom, I came back to this rehab. And instead of being smart to these people and showing them just how ignorant I could really be, I started asking questions to try to save my life. And it was this one counselor I got out of rehab, did all of that, and then I was going to this aftercare program, and then this aftercare program was still confused because they kept saying it's a spiritual program, not a religious program. And I noted that religion did not keep me from shooting dope for 30 years. So this one counselor told me that this is what worked for me, that just helped me put it together. He said, religious people pray to keep from going to hell. Spiritual people pray because they have been there. And that's the piece of the puzzle that I needed, because the life that I had created through my inability to accept personal responsibilities wound up being pure D hell. And then I had a male sponsor, well, a male advisor. Also, I said, well, what's the difference? He said, religion is something that's taught. You know, spirituality is something that's felt. And I realized a lot of times when I was trying to walk that perfect straight line and not sin and not fall on this side or that side, I was doing things because I was supposed to do them. That's what was expected of me to do. Today, I try to do the right things for the right reason because I choose to. And for me, it's all about choices. Thanks for letting me share.